Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, that's my mom.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Señor, wake up, America. It's Monday, November 14th. Good morning, Relevant Radio family, and welcome to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn Leverins, our studio producer, Sarah Tafoya. Thanks so much for joining us on this Monday morning. I hope you had a great weekend. First of all, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, Relevant Radio family. It was an absolutely amazing Join the Family Fall Pledge Drive. Incredible support last week. Thanks so much for allowing us to continue to bring Christ to the world through the media for yet another 3 months. Once again, as we've done it so many times before, we have made our goal of $3 million, and we did it in dramatic fashion on Friday afternoon, the last half hour of the pledge drive during the Drew Mariani Show with Father Rocky. A generous anonymous donor here in the state of Illinois pledged $100,000 to put us over the top. We did it with your amazing support through the intercession, no doubt, of our Blessed Mother Mary, Our Lady of Guadalupe, the patroness of Relevant Radio. Here are the very happy totals. 3,352,000 plus as we speak here this morning from 14,626 donations from you, our Relevant Radio family. Average gift of about $229. So it wasn't just that big gift. It was all the little gifts that added up. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. I am overflowing with gratitude this morning. Yet another incredible fall pledge drive, guys.
Absolutely. After a week of saying please, 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 we should spend the next 3 months saying thank you. Thank you so much for being the world's greatest listeners. My goodness. You know, that total about 3,350,000 or so. My goodness. Well beyond the $3 million mark we were shooting for. Thank you so much. Man, oh man, just incredible, John. I think it's a record for the best pledge drive ever, ever, ever for Relevant Radio.
It is definitely right up there. It hasn't been officially designated as the record, but I know that we are on the verge. It's very, very close. Just incredible. And I think when you put it in perspective, when you consider what's been going on with the economy in our nation, with inflation, the fact that our listeners, as you described, the world's greatest listeners, once again opened up their heart and supported what we do at a time when other Catholic and other Christian radio organizations have found it very difficult to raise funds, our Relevant Radio listeners came through in a big time way. Thank you to our Morning Air family, in particular, all you early bird listeners. On Friday, we had 404 gifts for almost $94,000. We can't do it without you. Every part of the day, every show is important, and especially our Morning Air listeners. You guys are fantastic. Again, thank you, Morning Air family. Sarah, your thoughts?
Well, you know, it was very surprising to see where we ended up because, you know, as we left it, we got almost to the, like, around almost close to the 3.5 million and then, or sorry, the 2.5 million. And then, Patrick and Mary were chugging along and they were, you know, gaining some ground and they're still, I think, they weren't even at the 2.7. And so you're like, oh, I don't know. Are we going to do it? But, you know, every single year when we do a pledge drive, every 3 months when we're doing a pledge drive, we're always wondering, How are we going to do this? And we always get there because, as Father always says, we ask for, you know, what we need, and God will give us what we need for the next 3 months, whether it's above or below our what we're asking for. God always comes through in what we exactly are going to need. And so that is something that I've often carried through into my daily life. Just, you know, I don't know how I'm going to pay bills or do this or that sometimes, and I just know God is going to get us exactly what we need when we need it. So, I mean, just another proof that that's exactly what happens, and it happened this time, too. So, thank you to everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, Morning Air listeners. You talk about a miracle moment. How about the 7 o'clock hour on Friday when we asked for 153 fish in honor of the fish that St. Peter pulled out of the water? And we got exactly, on the nose, 153 gifts,
donations. Yeah, we were close to, I thought, oh, we're probably not going to get there. We'll be a little short, but yeah, sure enough, right? At the stroke of... the stroke of midnight, so to speak. They jumped into the boat at the last second. So we appreciate every single one of you. Thank you so much.
I'll tell you, I really enjoy listening to the last part of the pledge drive every 3 months, because you never know what's going to come out of Drew's mouth. And Drew was teamed up with Father Rocky on Friday afternoon, and we were looking at the clock, and it's 4:30, and we haven't hit the goal yet. And all of a sudden, in miraculous fashion, this gigantic gift, $100,000, comes through to put us over the top. So it was exciting. I mean, I was listening intently as I was taking my son to indoor batting practice as he gets ready for the off-season training.
Very fun, very fun. Well, again, thank you to all the listeners. And this has been an exciting, last weekend was very exciting, but back to regular programming. So we've got some great guests lined up for you today and for the rest of the week.
For sure. And just in case you weren't around for whatever reason, you were, you know, on vacation out of the country and you missed last week's pledge drive, whatever reason, you can still make a tax-deductible donation by giving us a call, 877-291-0123. Or, of course, you can give online at relevantradio.com, where you can make a pledge through the Relevant Radio app. Thanks again, Sarah, Glenn, and thanks to all of our show hosts, and more importantly, thanks to all of you. We always begin every morning in prayer, always giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings. And this morning, especially in a big way, we give thanks to our Lord and to our Lady, to the Mother of God, for all the blessings of last week's pledge drive. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and patroness of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from John 14:6. Jesus the Lord says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no salvation under any other name. There is no other name in the entire world given by men to which we are to be saved. And so we always pray with great confidence and great gratitude, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook, our email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, as you know by now, we've talked about it a lot. November is the month dedicated to the holy souls in purgatory, which are being purified and need our prayers. There are also five saints of November that reflect the importance of working for God, and they encourage us to do the same. Joining us now is our regular contributor, Professor Annabelle Mosley, for much more on the Saints of November and how we can turn to their words the next time that we need a good reminder. Annabelle Mosley is the author of Sacred Braille, The Rosary as Masterpiece, and Our House of the Sacred Heart. She's also a professor of theology, wife and mother, and the creator of the Bethany Plan, offering busy Catholics a Christ-centered way to find balance. Good morning, Professor Annabelle. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It is great to be with you here in the month of November.
Good morning, John, and I'm so happy about how well that pledge drive went. That's so exciting.
It really is exciting. We're still smiling from ear to ear after last week. So much to be grateful for, and God provides, allows us the platform to be able to talk with you about all the wonderful saints that we have month in and month out. Let's talk about this month of November. There was a tireless cardinal that we celebrate his feast day back at the beginning of the month on November 4th. Tell us about St. Charles Borromeo.
Oh, I just love St. Charles Borromeo. And you know, few people really have worked more tirelessly for God than St. Charles Borromeo. So he was made a cardinal at a very young age, and he's actually the patron saint of seminarians. So if you have any seminarians to pray for, we can invoke St. Charles Borromeo. He's patron saint of bishops too. And he's really famous for his courageous leadership during a bad plague in the city of Milan. So there were many others, even some priests, that were fleeing Milan and hiding out and abandoning the people who really needed help. They were afraid, but the clergy was afraid, and they started to hide. And St. Charles Borromeo put a stop to it. He acted selflessly. He put his own worries for his own safety aside, and he led the priests in taking care of the sick and administering the sacraments. And he said, "Do not prefer a late death to a holy one." And you know, at the end of the plague, it turned out that not one of the priests who administered to the sick actually got sick themselves, but some of those who'd refused to help were stricken with the illness. So St. Charles Borromeo is really a hero in the fullest sense of the word. He puts more store in the soul than the body, which the Catechism reminds us to do. And he took action saving people, both in body and soul.
And he did it at a time that was tumultuous for the Catholic Church, right after the Reformation.
Yes, yes, which it really makes him a light of his times.
Absolutely. I want to invite our listeners, if you have a special devotion to a saint that we honor here in the month of November, you want to be part of our conversation with Professor Annabelle Mosley, we can take your calls at 888-914-9149. Now, let's talk about another well-known saint that we celebrated his feast day just last Friday on November 11th, which ironically was Veterans Day, and we're talking about a selfless soldier. So you could say he was a veteran himself, St. Martin of Tours. Tell us
Isn't
about
that
St.
Amazing?
Martin.
Oh, it's amazing how that works out. I love St. Martin. He's the patron saint of my baptismal feast. I always encourage my students to find out the date of your baptism and then pray to that saint. So I love St. Martin. He was actually the son of pagans, but he became a Christian catechumen. He was only 10, and he did it all on his own. He had, you know, his own I guess he was led by the Holy Spirit, and I just think it's so impressive that he did it by himself as a little boy. And then he became a Roman soldier. And famously, I think a lot of us have heard this story, but it really never gets old. He was out riding as a soldier. He sees a cold beggar who's shivering, and he takes his own soldier's cloak and cuts it in half and gives the half of it to warm that beggar. And later that night in a dream, St. Martin sees Jesus wearing the cape, and Jesus says to him, well, actually, he kind of overhears Jesus saying it to some angels. And Jesus says, Martin is only a catechumen, but has covered me with this garment. And that's the moment, that's the motive that Martin says, I'm giving it all to God now. He resigns from the Roman army, and he says, I've served you well, but now it's time for me to become a soldier for God. And his quote is, Lord, if your people need me, I will not refuse the work. Your will be done. He really was a soldier for God.
He really tried to put the gospel into work from
yeah.
what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah, a tremendous saint, St. Martin of Tours. Now, coming up tomorrow, November 15th, we are going to be honoring another a great German Dominican, St. Albert the Great. A lot to talk about this doctor of the church.
Absolutely. And those of us who love or are fascinated by St. Thomas Aquinas should really remember St. Albert the Great. He's pivotal in the life of St. Thomas Aquinas. So just like you said, John, he's a German Dominican, and St. Albert becomes this illustrious medieval scholar. He's actually considered one of the greatest minds of all time. He's a leading scientist of his age, and he was the theology teacher of St. Thomas Aquinas. And you know that famous moment when those fellow students of Aquinas made fun of him and they called him a dumb ox because he was slow in his speech? St. Albert defended Aquinas, saying, "Ox he is, and his bellowing in doctrine will one day be heard throughout the world. So just what an inspiration right there, how he stood up for St. Aquinas.
Yeah, it's also just a reminder of what a great responsibility anyone who is a teacher has. How in the world did St. Albert ever imagine that St. Thomas Aquinas, one of his disciples, one of his pupils, would go on to become one of the greatest minds of the last 2,000 years of our Catholic Church?
That is such a great point, that we never know when we teach who, you know, what, how we're affecting that life and how that student will go on to be a great light in the world. It's actually said that when Aquinas died and news of that death reached St. Albert, he wept and wept. He wept publicly in front of other students, saying a great light has gone out in the world. He loved his students. And really, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas would probably be the first to say that he wouldn't be who he was if it wasn't for St. Albert the Great. So if we love St. Thomas Aquinas, we need to invoke St. Albert.
I am a huge fan of St. Thomas Aquinas. I'm definitely not a scholar on St. Thomas Aquinas, but I have great appreciation for his intellect and his heart that he had for really having a relationship with God. I believe that it was St. Thomas who once said that the essence of the spiritual life is friendship with God. And I think that that is so important for all of us to this day to keep in mind. We need to have that relationship, that friendship with God that oftentimes our evangelical brothers and sisters talk about, having that personal relationship with the Lord. Well, St. Thomas was talking about that centuries ago.
Yes, and that's impressive from an intellectual, because St. Thomas is such a famous brain for the church. But, you know, when we look into his life, he was just as passionate a heart and had just as much love and wanting to be friends with God as he did wanting to study him. And that's an important reminder, too.
Is there anything that stands out about St. Albert's teachings himself? Obviously, he's known for his connection to St. Thomas Aquinas, but anything that we should be aware of that St. Albert is specifically known for?
Sure. Well, you know, he really is. This is when you research more, it's amazing that he's actually considered one of the greatest minds of medieval times. So as much as St. Thomas Aquinas overshadows him a bit, St. Albert is huge in the world of science and in terms of his legacy intellectually. Yet he stayed so humble. So he was considered a brilliant scholar of his time. To this day, he kind of remains famous for that. But he was a humble Dominican, and one of the famous stories is that he actually refused to ride a horse, even though he was appointed a bishop. So as a bishop, he refused to ride a horse and would just journey by foot so that he'd stay humble. It's incredible. What an incredible witness. And one of my favorite quotes from St. Albert the Great is this, again, from one of the greatest intellects of medieval times. He says, "It is by the path of love, which is charity, that God draws near to man, and man to God. But where charity is not found, God cannot dwell. If then we possess charity, we possess God, for God is charity." So there was no separation between the heart and the head, between love and intellect for St. Albert. He knew that God is love, and he lived that way himself.
That is impressive, for sure. Coming up on November 23rd, we celebrate a hardworking pope, in fact, one of the early popes of our Catholic faith, St. Clement I. Can you talk a little bit about this successor of St. Peter?
Absolutely. He's fascinating. Only the fourth pope, St. Clement, and it's said he was actually ordained by St. Peter himself. Amazing to think about that. St. Clement is the patron saint of fishermen. His martyrdom came about when he was thrown from a boat, and you'll see him often in art history with this big anchor, and that's the anchor to which he'd been tied, sort of reminding us of the martyrology, the martyrs, and how the very symbol that seems to be, from an earthly perspective, you know, just what kills them, is actually the very thing that brings them glory and beauty and inspires us to always tie our own struggles to heaven. So he was a friend, St. Clement was a literal friend of the apostles, which is exciting to imagine. And he gave everything in his own life for love of Christ. What's really cool about him is he not only had this famous holy death, He also had a holy life, and he reminds us, his words still kind of resound to us today, to have a structure if we can, to try to structure our day with regular prayer, even if we start with one thing each day, like let's say Divine Mercy at 3, to pick something that we do every day at the same time. He advises us to pray at appointed times and hours, and he actually says it behooves us to do all things in order at the appointed times and hours when we pray. So if we want to pick, let's say, the Divine Mercy at 3 or the Angelus at noon, or when we wake up, just saying, I'm going to pray it as soon as I wake up, to do that in honor of Pope Saint Clement. Pray it at the same time every day.
It's interesting when you look at Saint Clement, because he's obviously the successor to Saint Peter. He's listed as the fourth pope when you look at the list of all the popes, and he's also listed in the letter of Saint Paul's letter to the Philippians. And at the end of chapter 4, his name is actually listed.
That's right.
as a companion. So we have a lot that we can learn from Saint Clement, and from what I understand, he also wrote an epistle that was actually used in the early masses before the canon of scripture was finalized. Saint Clement was a very powerful voice in the early church.
Absolutely, very powerful.
Another really important figure in our faith is Saint Andrew, who we're going to celebrate at the end of the month on November the 30th, this first called apostle. Can you talk to us about Saint Andrew?
Absolutely. I love St. Andrew. First called, right? He was just that, the first of the apostles to be called by Jesus. He'd been following St. John the Baptist, and he was present at that beautiful moment when John points to Jesus saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God." So Andrew spreads this good news of finding the Messiah to his brother Peter. And he was martyred by being crucified on an X-shaped crucifix. It's famous if you look at the flag of Scotland. The flag has a white X on a blue background, and that's in honor of St. Andrew's cross, which is really profound. But I also think it's a wonderful witness to not always having to be, you know, his brother was St. Peter, and St. Andrew really willingly took a backseat to his brother without any resentment. He worked hard for Christ. He didn't push to be where Peter was. What a love he had. And I really feel Jesus, you know, kind of rewards that love in this way. He's the first called saint that kicks off Advent every year. He's the first, even though he might be second to his brother Peter, he has such a special place. We all have a special place in Jesus's heart. And his special place, which is not Peter's, is that he gets to kick off Advent every year with St. Andrew's Day. And please, I hope everyone listening will research the beautiful St. Andrew's Novena, which begins on the 30th. It ends on Christmas, and it is a powerful novena. It really changes the game for the Advent season.
And Professor Annabelle, also we have to keep in mind that St. Andrew's has a special place in the hearts of our Eastern brothers and sisters.
Absolutely.
They love St. Andrew.
They do.
Obviously, St. Andrew is their patron saint.
He is. And he's just so special in that he's the first to call everyone to Jesus and then so humbly steps aside for his brother. And we see how that he must have such great glory in heaven because of his humility. He's really an inspiration, and he's a light for us to follow all through Advent.
Well, thanks again for being with us this morning. Really do appreciate it. And of course, our listeners can read much more about the Saints of November that offer words of wisdom about working for God. Professor Annabelle's article is at aletheia.org. Thanks again, Professor, for being with us.
Always a joy to talk with you, John.
Many blessings. Professor Annabelle Mosley, the author of Sacred Braille, The Rosary as Masterpiece. We need to take a short break when we come back. Catholic author and speaker Emily Jaminet is going to join us to talk about the importance of having the spirit of gratitude and a real understanding of Christian hospitality. So stay with us as Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back. Get up, I'm Sarah. for joining us here on this Monday morning on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Again, if you're just joining us, I want to just say thank you. Thank you for just an amazing Join the Family Fall Pledge Drive last week. Once again, we made our goal of $3 million. We did it in quite amazing fashion. Late Friday afternoon, the last half hour of the Pledge Drive during the Drew Mariani Show with Father Rocky in the studio. A generous anonymous donor in Illinois pledged $100,000 to put us over the top. We did it with your support, your amazing support, with the help and the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary, Our Lady of Guadalupe, the patroness of Relevant Radio. In case, again, you're just joining us, here are the final totals. $3,352,000 plus from 14,626 donations from you, our Relevant Radio family. That means the average gift is $229, which means a lot. So whether it was big gifts or little gifts, every single one of you is so important, and we are so grateful. For whatever reason, if you missed last week's Pledge Drive, you can still make a tax-deductible donation by giving us a call, 877-291-0123, or you can also pledge online at relevantradio.com or through the Relevant Radio app. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation here this morning, 888-914-9149. Now, as we prepare for Thanksgiving Day next week, there are some key items to keep in mind. The importance of having a spirit of gratitude, which no doubt we have that here this morning, and also a real understanding of Christian hospitality. Joining us live is Morning Air contributor Emily Jaminet to give us some practical insights on how we can make the best out of this upcoming holiday. Emily Jaminet is a Catholic author, speaker, radio personality, wife, podcaster, and mother of seven children. She's also the executive director of WelcomeHisHeart.com. Emily is also the author of The Friendship Project, and her most recent award-winning book is titled Secrets of the Sacred Heart, 12 Ways to Claim Jesus' Promises in Your Life, and she can be found at EmilyJaminet.com. Good morning, Emily. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again as we get ready for Thanksgiving next week.
Isn't that true? Thanksgiving is next week, and it's one of those meals you can't wait until the day before to begin preparing. As a mom of seven, I know that right now the Thanksgiving experience really depends a lot on the mom, the main chef of the kitchen, the one preparing the meal, the one getting ready, you know. And that's why, even though we're about 10 days out from that eve of that significant day here as Americans, but also the significance of us preparing our own heart, our home, our attitude, and even reminding us to maybe go to the grocery store and start preparing the food as well.
Well, no doubt that a lot of folks are preparing as we speak. They've already started preparing for the big Thanksgiving meal. Hey, what about dads? Don't dads sometimes find their way into the kitchen to help out also?
You know, I'm so glad you mentioned dads, of course. And part of it is, you know, this is a great time to kind of do a spiritual reset of the family. And we know how important it is for dads to be a part of everything from, you know, taking out the trash maybe at the end of the day to preparing the meal, but really to being that spiritual leader, because all these opportunities, from holidays to birthdays, are opportunities for us to pass on the faith, pass on the torch, pass on their traditions, and really teach the next generation what is important, what is significant, especially in the eyes of God.
Do you think it's important to have that spirit of gratitude, to really understand what Thanksgiving Day is really all about? Can you talk a little bit about having that heart full of gratitude and understanding the gift of Christian hospitality?
Well, you know, there's a little saying that I like to teach my children and even pass on to other women, is that without faith, it is easy to become very bitter. So instead of becoming bitter, let's become better. And that can only happen with grace. So we might go through the motions, such as, you know, preparing that turkey, going to get all the groceries, cleaning our house, you know, inviting those people that maybe is even challenging, having some of that extended family in your home, even their type of, maybe politically you view differently. But we don't want to be bitter. We want to be better because of the gospel, because Jesus shows us the way to Christian hospitality, the significance of gathering around food, of praying, of dialoguing, and of really having this. To me, Thanksgiving is the preparatory meal for, you know, what kind of Christmas gathering are we going to have? So, you know, especially when there's people you see maybe once, maybe twice a year.
Well, as I said at the very beginning, we're so grateful here at Relevant Radio for the incredible generosity of our listeners. As you heard, we had an amazing pledge drive last week, and our listeners is the reason why we're able to bring Christ to the world through the media every single day. So we have so much to be grateful for here this morning in this weekend after the pledge drive in anticipation of the upcoming Thanksgiving Day. And when you think about it, Thanksgiving Day really does have something to do with the source and summit of our faith, the Holy Eucharist.
You know what? I'm really glad you brought that up, because for a lot of Catholic families, if we just look to secular society to set our holidays, faith will never be included. If it's from Thanksgiving to even the great solemnity of Christmas and the joy of Advent that's coming up around the corner. So we as Catholics have to turn to the sources such as Relevant Radio to continue to feed our soul. If it's preparing that prayer, one of the things I think is important is figure out who's going to say the prayer. What prayer are we going to pray? Can you go to morning mass the day of Thanksgiving as a family? Now, I know we're about a number of days out from Thanksgiving, but when you prepare your children and say, this is what Thanksgiving is going to look like, it's not football and leftovers and turkey, it's we're going to begin the day going to Mass, and then after Mass we're going to come back, and you kind of laying out that roadmap for Catholic families of what it means to be grateful, what it means to live out this day. I promise you, 10 days out, the expectation's laid, and where I get in trouble sometimes as a mom of seven is when I don't prepare the spiritual. I only think about the physical. I don't lay those good expectations for even my family or my husband as well.
And Emily, when you think of the spiritual, the very Holy Eucharist that we receive at Mass on Thanksgiving Day, the word itself has a lot to do with the original Greek meaning of Thanksgiving.
Isn't that amazing? The Greek meaning means Thanksgiving, Holy Eucharist. And that spiritual food needs to be our personal source and summit. It needs to be the fuel that drives our cars, that drives our holidays. And you'd be surprised the number of families that I've spoken to that don't realize the significance of the spiritual, even good Catholic families, that, you know, this is a great opportunity to, you know, maybe you find a great prayer that's very specific to Thanksgiving and saying, hey, do you want this prayer? You know, you want to pray this prayer on Thanksgiving with your family? That's a great way to evangelize. Or, you know, I think we're going to do this year. And one of the things we love to do every Thanksgiving is we love to share our gratitudes. We go around the table and everyone present, share something that they're grateful to, not just out loud, but what are we thankful to the Lord? It always needs to point back to God Almighty. And that's a beautiful tradition to fill even meaningful conversation right around that table.
And it's as simple as just saying, thank you, Jesus, something that we can do at any time during the day, not just on Thanksgiving, but, you know, 365 days a year for all the many blessings. Because, you know, the Lord blesses us in so many ways that sometimes we just don't even realize it. You know, I wear this little bracelet that says every day is a gift. And so it's a never ending reminder that every day really is a gift. Thanksgiving Day is a gift.
It is a gift, and that's right. We don't want to be bitter. We want to be better. We don't want to begrudgingly go through the steps of living out our vocation, living out our calling. We need to, no matter how challenging it is, maybe even picking up the house or getting the kids to help you with preparing. You know, it's it's the beautiful gift we can give back to the Lord. And, you know, as I mentioned, we're about 10 days out. It's even a great day to call your pastor and say, do you have plans on Thanksgiving? Would you like to come to our house? Maybe there's an elderly person that you can say, I'd love for you to either join us or I'll bring you a plate of food at the end of the day. You know, we'd love to share our meal with you. This time is a great time. That's one reason why we want to talk about it now, so that we can be prepared for the great and wondrous works and deeds we can do, even with this holiday that for many of us we take for granted.
Well, I think it's providential that we have you on, Emily, this morning, the morning after our Pledge Drive week last week, our Join the Family Pledge Drive, because we have so much to be grateful for as we prepare ourselves for the upcoming Thanksgiving Day feast. If you want to be part of our conversation on the importance of having that attitude of gratitude, that spirit of gratitude, and a real understanding of what Christian hospitality is all about with Catholic author Emily Jaminet, we're taking your calls, 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. If you're up early and you want to be with us, give us a ring. We're going to take a short break as we continue our discussion with Emily. Stay with us. There's more, much more to come here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us this morning as we continue our conversation on the importance of having that attitude of gratitude and the real meaning of understanding what Christian hospitality is all about as we get ready for Thanksgiving Day next week. We're talking this morning with our good friend Emily Jaminet, a Catholic author, speaker, radio personality, a wife, and the mother of seven children. Emily, there is a lot in Scripture about the importance of gratitude. Can you share with us a few passages to remind us of the importance of gratitude?
Well, I'm so glad you brought up the importance of Scripture. As Catholics, we have Scripture. We have the importance of really even, we talked recently before we were on about the significance of the Holy Mass, but looking to these things to be able to be renewed. And that's what Jesus wants to do, is he wants to renew all things in our life, and he wants to help us so that the Scripture really, you know, grounds us and gives us the ability to, you know, to be new, to be restored.
I often have said it so many times, you know, just how important the Word of God is, Scripture, because it's not just the words of men. It is the Word of God working through the instruments of the writers of Scripture. Can you share just a few of your favorite passages on gratitude from the Bible?
Sure, absolutely. You know, one of my favorite passages is, you know, the simple give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. And that's 1 Chronicles 16:34. So it's Old Testament, but it's the importance of giving thanks, his love endures forever. So if you're struggling, you know, the significance of knowing that God is there. I also love 1 Timothy 4:4-5. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God in prayer. So that, you know, everything God creates is good. So what we got to do is look past, you know, the Pinterest perfect Thanksgiving post and realize that, you know, all things are good. And that spirit of gratitude, that importance of being rooted in Scripture, rooted in prayer. And, you know, last, I think the Psalms are just a great, great, great way to, for me to always pick up and be rooted in prayer. You know, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High, Psalm 50:14. So I love to open my Scripture and to even search, you know, looking through the Bible on the significance of, you know, getting a spiritual heart transplant. I like to say it when I'm cooking in the kitchen and I'm feeling a little bitter, I'm feeling a little burned out. I need to fill my heart with true gratitude in God.
I love St. Paul's letter to the Philippians in the fourth chapter in Philippians 4:4. St. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety, but in every prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be known to God." There's the word again, with thanksgiving. Just a great reminder about the importance of having that attitude of gratitude.
And don't you love when it said, do not be anxious about anything? You know, why are we anxious about having our family and friends over as we're talking about, you know, Thanksgiving? Why are we anxious or even stressed? I was thinking, you know, over the break about stepping forward and being able to, a lot of times I say, we get to go to Mass. We get to say prayers in our family. We get to gather around this table. And that, realizing that privilege, that little shift of even our how we speak about things makes a really big difference.
How should we put into perspective the additional costs of this year's Thanksgiving meal, obviously with inflation, with what's been going on with the economy? It's been talked about that Thanksgiving is going to actually cost more than it has in recent years. How do you put that in perspective and still have a grateful heart?
I love that you brought that up. To a mom of seven who has six of her kids still in Catholic schools, I'm right there with many of these families. I understand the impact of the economy. And first and foremost, we plan and we prepare. For many of us, you know, we might have gotten used to just a takeout kind of Thanksgiving. But when we prepare the food within our own kitchen, it sure can be more affordable. We also might invite others to participate, such as this year, you know, I'm going to be preparing the turkeys. My mom's going to be preparing some side dishes. So is my sister as well. And even though we'll have a house full of well over 27 people, you know, we're dividing things up. Maybe this year we're not going to, you know, have the specific brand that in the past we always thought we needed. That's not the priority. It's not the meal. It's not the food. It's gathering to give true thanks and giving to God Almighty. And when we take the secular out of what we do, we realize it's really reasonable. And lastly, prepare. Even last week, I started preparing some of the items I know that I'll be purchasing for Christmas for the kids because the prices were reasonable. They were great. And I always have, you know, at least one season prepared ahead of having those things when I find them on clearance or discount or a good alternative.
Can you talk about hospitality on Thanksgiving Day and how it's much more than just having the perfect looking table and, you know, house beautiful, you know, everything perfect? There's much more to it than that.
Believe it or not, John, there's a lot of pressure if you turn to social media and Pinterest to plan your Thanksgiving. You definitely can feel, you know, that your table's never good enough. But this is not a competition of who has the prettiest table. The question is your heart open? Do you have an openness on that day? Are you willing to allow the stressful things to happen and to grin, to smile, to give it back to God, even if it doesn't look like it's going well? It's the openness to the stranger that we see in the importance of Scripture. We know as we see, you know, the significance of when Jesus would dine with others throughout the Gospels, and we would hear these beautiful stories from even the Last Supper to when he dined with, you know, the tax collector. We saw that what takes place when people come together. So let's have an open heart. The other thing is what I love to do is, John, I love to have religious images present for me as holy stop signs. So if I start to find that I'm getting stressed, I'm getting maybe irritated with my teenagers or my young adults for not helping, I remember, you know, what's the right attitude in this mentoring process, this experience of gathering as family?
All right. The big question is, what about the TV? Do you leave the football games on while you're celebrating Thanksgiving?
You know, I'm so glad you brought that out. The good news is we're having this conversation about 10 days out. So these are important conversations to actually have now, starting with your spouse. And I recommend, you know, bringing up like a question, what do you think about if we turn the TV off? for this important meal? What if we, you know, for many of us, we have the ability to record these games and these events. It's not the secular that leads the Christian. It's the Christian who finds, you know, and redeems all things for God's glory and finds that proper perspective within the family. So for our family, we'll be going to Mass that day. We'll be including some family prayers and gratitude. I'm going to be putting a lot of these scriptures on the table. And what I'm going to do is invite people to pick up a slip of that paper and to read it throughout the meal as well, because this is a meal of giving thanks. And the football, I'm requesting it goes off during the meal. No football, no phones at the table. This is old-fashioned fun is my attitude.
Well, I would imagine that after the meal, it'd be okay to turn on the football game, and then that way you have the best of both worlds. Just one other thought that occurred to me. What about family members that maybe we don't talk to that much, that we may not have the best of relationship with? The importance of being hospitable and inviting them to our Thanksgiving meals.
You know, inviting them in a lot, as we know, the faith is passed on when we have an encounter with Jesus Christ. And for many, they might have an impression of what it means to be Catholic. They might have an impression of what it means, you know, maybe they don't know the inner working, but our Christian hospitality, our Christian joy, and please, please don't refrain from saying your grace or talking about Christ at the table because you're worried about offending the family member who's at your table as a guest. You know, always leave that place for Jesus to be present. And I promise you, your hospitality, warmth, and love goes far, far greater than any discussion of politics or even, you know, putting the focus on secular culture.
I'm so glad you brought up politics, especially after last week's elections. It's probably a good idea to keep it off to the side on Thanksgiving Day.
For us, it's off the table. There's too many other great things to talk about. Lastly, I even recommend putting together a little list of some of the things you can talk about, such as, you know, what's the best side dish you ever ate? Or I recall an amazing Thanksgiving when it snowed 3 feet. You know, think about those memories ahead of time, jot them down. So if the conversation starts to stall, it's silent, you have a great question to propose that will bring out the best in your guests.
Faith, food, and fun. I so much appreciate your insights, Emily. As a mom of seven, you've done it many, many times before. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you. Have a blessed Thanksgiving, and I'm grateful for Relevant Radio and the voice of truth, light, and love.
Thanks.
All throughout the world.
Thanks again. Emily Jaminet, the executive director of WelcomeHisHeart.com. It's time now for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called The Perfect Mistake. My mother's father worked as a carpenter. On this particular day, he was building some crates for the clothes his church was sending to orphanages in China. On his way home, he reached into his shirt pocket to find his glasses, but they were gone. When he mentally replayed his earlier actions, he realized what had happened. The glasses had slipped out of his pocket unnoticed and fallen into one of the crates, which he had nailed shut. His brand new glasses were heading for China. The Great Depression was at its height, and Grandpa had six children. He spent $20 for those glasses that very morning. He was upset by the thought of having to buy another pair. "It's not fair," he told God as he drove home in frustration. "I've been very faithful in giving of my time and money to your work, and now this." Months later, the director of the orphanage was on furlough in the United States. He wanted to visit all the churches that supported him in China, and he came to speak one Sunday at my grandfather's small church in Chicago. The missionary began by thanking the people for their faithfulness in supporting the orphanage. But most of all, he said, "I must thank you for the glasses you sent last year. You see, the communists had just swept through the orphanage, destroying everything, including my glasses. I was desperate. Even if I had the money, there was simply no way of replacing those glasses. Along with not being able to see well, I experienced headaches every day, so my coworkers and I were much in prayer about this. When your crates arrived, when my staff removed the covers, they found a pair of glasses lying on top." The missionary paused long enough to let his words sink in. Then, still gripped with the wonder of it all, he continued, "Folks, when I tried on the glasses, it was as if though they'd been custom-made just for me. I want to thank you for being part of that." The people listened, happy for the miraculous glasses, but the missionary surely must have confused their church with another they thought. There were no glasses on their list of items to be sent overseas. But sitting quietly in the back, with tears streaming down his face, an ordinary carpenter realized the master carpenter had used him in an extraordinary way. Philippians 4:19 says, God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
As always, Glenn, thanks so much. I really appreciate it. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, our spiritual director, Father Burke Masters, will continue his series on the sacraments. We're going to talk today about the early church fathers and what they wrote about the sacrament of confession. And personal finance expert Howard Dvorkin, the chairman of Debt.com, will tell us how to make smart decisions when it comes to Black Friday and the holiday shopping season. Stay with us. We are just warming up this morning. There's much more to come in the final hour of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.